honor Dave with a round of applause, please.
God bless you. You may be seated. And the children may be dismissed. I got the cue from God bless you. For all our visitors today, we have a Bangladeshi family that has joined us this morning and some other dear ones. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. I hope you feel right at home in the house of the Lord. If you do us a favor of signing or seeing our What Now table, we'd love to get to be more in contact with you and share a little bit more with you, answer any questions you might have about us as a congregation. Hallelujah. Turn to your Bibles with me to the book of Revelation. We're in the last book. So I was thinking about this chapter. I was thinking about some common words that we hear a lot over Christmas time. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 talks about faith, hope, and love. But we hear a lot more over Christmas time of three other words. Anybody tell me one of those words? No, not that one. Joy. That, I like that one. Not hope. Peace. Yeah. What else? What else did the angel say? Goodwill. And that can be classified as love, right? So, joy, peace, and goodwill. And also glory. How many want more of God's glory in your life? That's been my prayer this morning, that the glory of the Lord would appear in the sanctuary. The glory of the Lord would lift us up. As we're, thank you, my dear wife. I thank the Lord that God has called us to be overcomers. How many want to be an overcomer? That means that you're not up against the wall, but you're getting over. That's what overcoming is, isn't it? It's pressing through. There's this a song that says, I can run through a troop and jump over a wall. It's that power not to hit up against the barrier. Maybe some of you have hit up a barrier, up against the barrier, and you're coming up to the end of this year. You're saying, am I going to carry this barrier into the new year? If that's you, wave at me. Oh, good. Nobody's got any barriers. That's good. Then I'm barrier free this morning. Hallelujah. All right. Turn to your Bibles with me to chapter 12. Pastor Matt's been so gracious to me to give me some really dynamic chapters. Like I had chapter 4. To got to speak about heaven coming down. I just got elated and so blessed. Well, he gave me a good one too on chapter 12. How many pre-read the chapter this week? So how do you know what I'm going to preach about? Oh, Pastor Matt said, how far are you going to go? I said, well, just... you'd never know how much it's going to go when I start getting warmed up. So just buckle your seats. It all depends on how much of my accent you can understand. I can understand that. Now, the first verse in Revelation 12, it says, now. Don't you like the nows in the Bible? Some of you are still asleep, you know. My wonderful wife woke me up at 4:45 this morning. She said, I've been up since 3:30. But, you know, the word says it's now. And I like now words because it means we don't have to wait. The Word of God is a now book. It's something that you and I as believers can connect to and say it's pertinent. This word in verse 1 says, "Now a great sign appeared in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars, being with child." As we've been studying the book of Revelation, we have not tried to get caught up in allegory and in many multitude of interpretations. But what I want to say to you is that this that we find in Revelation chapter 12 of a vision that says now is a reoccurring thing that is transcendent and goes all the way through Scripture. And it should remind us of something. It should cause us to recognize something. It talks about a woman clothed with the sun and a moon at her feet and 12 stars. How many remember Joseph? Anybody out there? All the way back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 37, Joseph had a dream. Got him in a lot of trouble, right? Because as he started talking about his dream, he said, "Oh, I had this dream, and I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars bow down before me." That's a pretty amazing dream. Anybody want to have that type of a dream? But all of his brothers and sisters, his mom and dad, recognized what he was saying. He was saying, "You family are going to one day bow your knee before me." And they said, "Boy, this kid, he's got a blown up head. Wow, he's coming trying to say he's going to rise up above us." So there's no reason for us to get blown away as we read here in Revelation chapter 12 of a woman that has the sun as her dressing and the moon at her feet and her head a garland of 12 stars. Well, we can start to interpret Scripture by Scripture. Right? Now, I was thinking, how many ever visited a Catholic church? Maybe some of you were raised there. Maybe some of you have seen some of the imagery and the pictures that are in various places in that church. And this very thing is depicted in some of the murals that you will see. Maybe stained glass, maybe just a photo. And you know, we can get distracted. I don't want us to get distracted this morning. What I'm trying to tell you in interpretation is that this is a common thread that goes all the way through Scripture about a woman who's about to give birth. Who's the father? Well, we know it's a virgin. And the Scripture says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Where's that taken from? Isaiah chapter 7, 14, and chapter 9, verse 6. "The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I want us to get that, hey, we're not too far away from Christmas. And here we are celebrating as we come into one of the ending books, the very ending book, but here, chapter 12, talking about who? The very theme of the divine romance that's immediate upon us. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 13, talks about that divine story. And in verse 15 of chapter 49, it says, "Yet I will never forget you, a mother can forget her child, but God says, I'll never forget you. Isaiah 66, 7 and 8, behold, she was in labor and she gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child who has heard such a thing. Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For a son, as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. That's taken from Isaiah chapter 66. So a woman being with child, verse 2, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And now we see another sign. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great and fiery red dragon having seven heads and ten horns and seven diadems on his head. We see God representing a woman that's about to bring birth. And then we also see the opponent, the fiery dragon that's being declared as well, another vision, another sign that is appearing in heaven. And this dragon having seven heads speaks of authority, intelligence, and cleverness, but not wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, what is true wisdom? Reverence of God. So this dragon does not have wisdom. He's clever. He's deceptive. He has a purpose. He wants to wreak destruction. He has ten heads, earthly completeness. And earthly completeness is limited. Anybody say amen? Earthly completeness is limited. He has seven diadems on those heads, which represents political authority. Verse 4, and his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. Who are these stars? They're the angelic hosts that rebelled against God. And we can find many references to this. Jude chapter 6, Ezekiel 28, Genesis 3:15. And 2 Peter 2, 4, for God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. So what happens is Satan, when he fell, he didn't fall alone. He took a third of heaven with him. Now, my maths wasn't the greatest subject I ever had, but I know that one-third is less than two-thirds. It doesn't say how many angels were there, but it just says a third and two-thirds. So I don't know about you, but I'm ready to dance and jump, because whatever Satan has, he is a loser. He is a loser. And his one-third will never equal the two-thirds that God has. God can do it alone if he wanted to. Satan drew a third, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Do you know the enemy of your soul and is looking to devour your child, is looking to take away your dream, is looking to destroy anything that is a hope and a reoccurring thing in your heart toward God. He's a thief. He's a dragon. He breathes out fire. He may crown himself with human understanding, but his greatest desire is to steal your vision and destroy your hope for a future. That's why the scripture says here that the dragon was there ready to snatch away the child. Who's that child? Jesus. Jesus, the hope of our salvation. Jesus, the Redeemer that we've been waiting for, all mankind has been waiting for. Thank God he's come. Thank God he's come. Verse 5, she bore a male child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Now, you can spend hours looking up rod of iron and what its purpose is and what some churches declare about it. But let us put it this way. God is going to, you know, in reference, it speaks about the rod that smashed the pottery. I got some revelation out of this. And when a potter didn't like what his he created on the wheel and it was already set, had just about gone in the keel, if he couldn't use it, he used his rod on it. Started over. The rod of iron. Jesus is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Everyone's going to have to submit to him. You can follow this all the way through Revelation in the scripture that all nations will come and worship before him. And that is his purpose. That is his design. It says Christ, the male child who was to rule all nations. Hasn't happened yet. He still is the ruler, but one day during the millennium, he will rule with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. We know Jesus ascended to the Father, amen? When he finished the work, he was seen by 500 after his resurrection, and then he went to be with the Father. And angels stood there and told the disciples, "Why do you stand gazing? This same Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. He is coming again. And he's coming to redeem us." Verse 6. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. You know, God's looking after his people. We've already talked about this morning that America's recognizing Jerusalem and asking the nations, come on, come on, come on, join us. It's no longer Tel Aviv. It's going to be Jerusalem, the holy city. We're going to come and set up our embassies there and recognize the holy city. All right, and so this woman fled into the wilderness where she was sustained by God. Verse 7, and war broke out in heaven. We got enough wars on the planet Earth, but this is an amazing thing. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Woe is the earth. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. So this war had a good outcome. Amen? Satan doesn't have access to come and accuse us. Especially because of what we're going to read in verse 11. And they, who are they? Me. That's me. All believers, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Why do we have to overcome him? Because now he's not just in heaven accusing us. He's come down to earth. He comes down to accuse you here on the planet. He's come down with his angels and his accusations to try to infiltrate your life and try to discourage you on what are the gifts and the plans and the things that God wants to enact in your life for your fulfillment. And we know the very common scripture that we have for this church is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. God hasn't forgotten them. Hallelujah. You don't have to remind him. You don't have to remind God what his plans are for you. You need to remind yourself what God's plans are for you. Right? I know the plans, says the Lord. Plans for good. So if you're not encountering God's good, you need to speak to your situation and say, I am in agreement with God because he says his plans for me are good. To give me a future. My wife always talks to me about her sister used to call her stupid. As siblings, sometimes we say things and we utter things that are curses. And if we hear it enough, we start to believe it. And my wife was saying that that got broken off of her. She no longer believes she's stupid. And I say amen. But we need to align ourselves with what God says about us. And declare his word. And that is why the scripture says here, they, that's us, they overcame him, present tense, by the blood of the Lamb. Where was the blood of the Lamb poured out? At Calvary, on the cross. We overcome by the blood of Jesus, by his cross. One of our greatest and most powerful tools against the lies and the accusations of the enemy. And by the word of their testimony, word up. Put the word inside of you. You cannot overcome unless you know how to use the word. And the scripture says that the sword came out of his mouth. Jesus opened his mouth and a sword came out. What is the sword? The word of God. And so for us to overcome, for us to have a word of testimony, it has to be scripture. Because the devil knows how to quote the scripture, but he quotes it out of context. How many knows that? Jesus was tempted by the enemy, by Satan in John 4, right? And he came to him with the word. But Jesus recognized, it is written, was his response. It is written. And so you and I, to have the testimony of Jesus and to have the power of the word, we must overcome with the testimony of the word. Some of us have great testimonies, but we're still quoting from a few years back. I got born again. On the 26th of May, 1962, it's a few years back, wonderful day. But if my salvation is still looking back to 1962, I'm out of my depth. I need to be in 2017 and looking ahead. And my testimony needs to be for today. Some people get up and they start to talk about things that bound them. And you say, are you glorifying what you were bound in, or are you glorifying the deliverer? Wave at me if you think I'm a little bit there. Yeah. Sometimes people start talking, and Jesus saved me. And that's all they say about Jesus. You just had heard a half hour of all the things the enemy was doing. And look, folks, we got to have a testimony that's real for today. Amen? Because the devil knows where you're at. He knows where you're at. And the scripture goes on and says, and they did not love their lives to the death. Is anybody there yet? When I read that, I thought, Lord Jesus, help us. I have a Persian pastor sent me some testimonies of people that went and actually died for their faith. But God raised them back to life. Said, you're not finished. Go back. Folks, we don't know what's upon us. In the latter part of this chapter, we're going to read that the enemy is going to take out a focus on those who have the testimony of Jesus. Look at me with me in verse 17. The dragon was enraged with the woman. He went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Who's that? It's us. And so the statement that we're receiving this morning, the declaration through preaching, is to say to you, are you ready to go the full distance? Are you ready not only to take up your cross and to let the word come out of your mouth and declare that Jesus is Lord and see his power cause the enemy to go in seven different directions? Are you also willing, if God says, I will give you grace, to take what I've given you to the grave? Because death, hell, and the grave can't hold you. Death, hell, and the grave cannot hold you if you have that peace of God in your heart. Your destiny sealed with Jesus Christ and that hope of eternal life. Verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, O heaven, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath. And I love this next statement, because he knows that he has a short time. God's going to limit his time. It's not going to last for eons. God has a purpose. He has a destiny. He has a limited time bracket. Verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nurtured for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. Isaiah chapter 40 says, those that wait upon the Lord shall mount up. How many are ready to mount up? With wings as eagles. God saying, you don't have to drag your feet through this life. God wants to lift you up. Just as the the promise here was God did not abandon the woman, but he sent to take her up on eagle's wings and to bear her into the desert. I was thinking about this desert is not a desolate place because it has God's provision. Amen? And when the Jewish nation returned to Israel, it was a desolate place. Even the Arabs didn't want it. If you look back, and it's very interesting, we've been lied to. We have. You know, there are people that are claiming to be Palestinians. They're not Palestinians because the Palestinians got wiped out. There were no Palestinians back in the early 40s. You might say, well, where did they come from? Well, they were the jealous nations. If you do a little bit of searching and not just believe everything that you hear on the media today, do a little bit of searching yourself, you'll find out. You know, I'm amazed at how people talk about Israel and what they believe because of what they've heard from the BBC or from the media. Because they, and you, the church, you have no excuse. Can I say that to you? You and I have no excuse because we have so many things at our disposal to look and search out things. You don't have to be ignorant. The Bible says that we need to be able to give an account for the hope that lies within us. And so for it, be able to answer questions, to be able to discuss things, sometimes you might have to say, I don't know. It's okay. Anybody ever have to say that? I have plenty of times. Oh, you're a preacher. You should know everything. No, I'm sorry. Only he knows. I'm limited. But I know who knows. And that's all I need to know. Isn't that good? I know who knows. And I'm under his wings. And so I just challenge you as God's people to really search out and know what's happening amongst us and what's happening in this time. Verse 15, so the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. We can look at that throughout history. Satan has tried to destroy Israel in so many ways. So many ways. But I love what the scripture says in verse 16. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that, in essence, is what we're looking at in the chapter. But I want to ask some questions. Anybody now ready for the quiz? Just the teacher and me, that's just coming up. Okay. With who or whom do we have to overcome? Who or whom? Well, you were right. But I wrote down three other words for him. His name is Satan the Accuser. He's the serpent. His cunningness is not wisdom. And the dragon destroyer, whose fire consumes our dreams, promises, and visions if we allow him to. Some of you are saying, you're starting to push into areas you shouldn't push today. But I want to say, by the Spirit of God, God hasn't forgotten his vision for your life. He has not forgotten his plan, his destiny, his direction for your life. You may have forgotten it. You may have compromised. You may have allowed the accuser of the brethren to tickle your ears and say, it's all right. It's another year. But my brothers, my sisters, the scripture says we need to overcome. We need to overcome. We need to not succumb, but overcome. God wants us, and he's calling us to be overcomers. Oh, I'm glad I got an Amoyne corner over here. I'm still looking for it over here. God wants us to overcome in this life. And that was my second question. How do we overcome? This is the practical side of where you go home and you say, well, let's have pastor for lunch. And that's not by invitation. Since my wife haven't, and I haven't received a lot of invitations up there, but I know what pastor for lunch is. It's okay because I love people to discuss what they heard. Because we need to mull over and meditate upon the Word of God. And we need to ask ourselves, what did we hear? Did we have our ears tickled this morning? Did we have a shouting pastor? Yes, you did. But the scripture says, how do we overcome? Well, we have to overcome with action. True? Sometimes I have to agree with my wife. Sometimes we don't agree. God's been working on us for 30 years, and I sometimes say, whoa. 37 years, and I still don't know this wonderful woman all the ways I should. But I want to tell you, there's something powerful that when we agree together, what I can't do in my own, when I put my faith together with my wife's, watch out, hell. Watch out, because two are better than one. And we have great rewards for our coming together. And I want to say to you, church, when we, the body of Christ, come together and say, it's not going to happen, devil. It's not going to happen in our city. It's not going to happen in Brisbane. It's not going to happen because we believe God and we're going to overcome you. Oh, some of you are going to get excited. We are going to overcome your destiny and your plan of destruction. Because we know there are people that are being destroyed in our city, aren't they? We're standing in the gap. We are saying, no, devil, you can't have them. We're plundering hell. We're taking back what is God's. We're claiming people for the kingdom. We're not just feeding people on Friday. We're not just giving clothes to them. We're saying, come out of darkness. Come into the light. Leave your desolate, devastated life behind, because God's got a plan for you. You can leave the destruction. That's what that wonderful story about. What's the name of it? Pilgrim's Progress. See, I just had to look at her, and she just gives me all this abundance of stuff. Our kids had a different name for it. That's why my mind was struggling. But it's Pilgrim's Progress, and it's a wonderful allegory. It's just like the book of Revelation. If you haven't read it, I want to recommend it to you, because it talks about life, letting go of your burdens, and getting a hold of going on that heavenly journey. I'm on a heavenly journey with you, brothers and sisters. I'm here to connect my faith with yours, because we are going to declare to the kingdom of darkness, you have no power in our city. We're going to tear you down. We're going to make war against you. Oh. My heart, it's here. I watched the video yesterday about Mogul, which is ancient Nineveh. You know, God is calling people. He's appearing to the people. Jesus is coming to people and saying, I love you. This isn't my plan for you. I listened to a testimony of a man that went to do walk around and follow the Islam's greatest pilgrimage to the Hajj. This man was living in Turkey with his family, and he was such a drunk, he decided, I can't stand what I'm doing to my family. So he left his family and went to Saudi Arabia and started living there. And he got amongst some friends and said, hey, let's go on a pilgrimage. Let's do what all Muslims do great, and that is let's go to the Hajj and march around this Hajj and throw white pebbles. And as he's marching around the Hajj that night, they all slept around the Hajj. It's a big black stone. It's in the middle of Mecca. And he was sleeping there, and he had a vision. Jesus spoke to him. He says, you don't belong here. I'm calling you to myself. He bumped his friend. He said, did you see that? Did you hear that? And the guy said, oh, you ate too much last night. You're just having, you're having bad dreams. He says, I'm not dreaming. And Jesus told him, you need to leave. So he packed up. And he got transformed because of a vision from Jesus. Jesus is very active today in reaching out in the Muslim nations and, in devastation of Iraq and Iran and in those areas. And we're excited to be part of a church that's even in the afternoon that preaches to the Iranians, the Persians. But, the exciting thing, church, is we need to take and continue to see an area of overcoming in our lives. We need to vocalize the word. We need to have confidence before God. The scripture says that he's written us upon his hand. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says, I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you. Three times. I will never, never, never leave you or forsake you. Stand with me. So that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Whom shall I fear? This morning we're going to open our altars because some of you need to come and say, God, I want to be ready. I want to be ready. You said that we're not only to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and some of us stop there, but the scripture says, and they love not their lives to the death. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. And they love not their lives to the death. You and I are so distracted in this life. That's me. I'm pointing them all at me. You let them point at yourself if you want to. But the scripture, the word of God is to penetrate this morning. I speak it by the power of the anointing of God to say that that word needs to fall upon our hearts to recognize that we may be called to an account. The church has heard a pre-rapture message for so long, but we need to be ready. There are believers who are pouring their lifeblood out today in persecution in faraway countries and maybe even within our own nation. because they love Jesus to the pouring out of their blood. How much are you willing to sacrifice for your faith, for your love for Jesus? It may cost you everything. Not just worldly possessions, but everything that you have in this life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me for a few minutes. As we go on reading in Revelation, there's wonderful things for the overcomers. There's wonderful, wonderful things, not only in this life, but in the life to come for those who pay the ultimate sacrifice, and that is their own life. And church, I want to be ready for that. The scripture says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Today is the day to obtain mercy for the time of need. Will you be ready? The Bible says when we have to stand before kings, to not be afraid, because the Lord will fill our mouths. He'll give us the words to say. If we have to give our lives, he'll be with us at the very instant. Today, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, and you hear this clarion call, Jesus' love is calling you today. If you've never responded to Jesus, you prayed the prayer, but you know you still haven't changed. And God wants to change you. That's what salvation's about. Salvation is for change. Salvation is for leaving aside the old life and coming into the new nature in Christ Jesus. If you've never experienced the new nature, you haven't experienced salvation. You say, well, Pastor Dave, I've prayed that prayer with Pastor Matt Sunday after Sunday. But I want to tell you, has the penny dropped? Has it changed your life? Have you seen a change to say, Jesus, you've washed me white as snow. I know I'm changed. If you don't know that, today you can know that. I'm going to ask you to move out of your seat. If you're coming to Jesus, I'm going to invite you to move, because it takes movement. It takes action. It takes a responsiveness to say, yes, Lord, yes, I hear your word. I hear your call. I respond, Jesus, I'm coming to you. If that's you today, come forward. If you've never accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, this is your invitation. This is the call. Jesus is calling you. It's a little harder, isn't it? It's a little harder to step out and not just repeat words. But God is saying, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. That's what the word says. So if it costs you something to move out, it may cost you. I have a second call, because I presume all of you are believers. Even if you're a believer, say amen. I love it. Say it again. And now those who are believers, I'm calling you to say, are you ready for that ultimate cost? When you come up here, we're going to pray, Lord, make us ready. Make us ready. It's all a stepping out in God, isn't it? God will agree, the prayer of agreement. I will pray with you, or others in the prayer team will pray. And we will just stand in agreement to say, help us, Lord, make us ready. If that's you wanting to respond this morning to say, yes, Lord, yes, I want to be ready. I want to have my garments white. I want to be prepared for your soon return. I want to be willing to lay it all on the line. If that's you today, I'm going to invite you to come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just like I prayed with my wife and took her hand, it's a prayer of agreement. That's what we're going to do up here. We're just going to pray with you and agree with you that the Spirit of God and His righteousness, His encouragement, and the Holy Spirit will bless you. Pray that chains will be broken. The life of God, the fears that people have will be broken. That the anointing of God will rest upon you and encourage you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As we're beginning to pray here, congregation, let's lift our hands to the Lord. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that not one person leaves this building today and loses sight of your soon return. Lord, work your works of miracles in each life. Lord, let your word never return void, but let it accomplish that for which it is sent. Today, I bless my brothers, my sisters. I pray for those who have not responded but have heard the call. I pray in Jesus' name that you will make them ready, that they will not put it off, but they will press into you, Lord, even as these dear ones this morning recognize and say, God, make us ready. Make us ready. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed from the congregation. Those who are up here will be going to be ministered to in prayer.